Last week, we were sharing out of both the Old and the New Testament concerning the matter of spots and blemishes on the people of God and the absence of same on those that are washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been wondering all this week why I wasn't led to say anything about it last week. It's along the same line, and I thought, well, that's so good. It's a revelation that I had not really seen before. And I thought, well, why didn't I get that out? Well, I know why I didn't get it out. It's because it's going to come out today. And so I want to tie in with what we were talking about last week and kind of build on that and then look at another aspect of this business of spots and blemishes. If you'll turn with me, please, to the 5th chapter of the book of Ephesians. We're going to begin to read here at the... Now, before we do, I want to just say to you that I don't want to hear this morning what Vic Rockhill has to say, and I'm sure you don't either. I want to hear this morning what God has to say, and that's why I came. I did not come to hear myself preach. I came to worship and to bless my Heavenly Father, and I came to hear what He has to say to me today and to the church. And I want you to pray with me and just agree with me that God will speak, since I happen to be the one who's behind the microphone, that He will use my mouth and my mind and my spirit and my body to bring the message that He wants to bring today, and that you will hear from God today, and that I will hear from God today. I believe we all want to know what's thus saith the Lord. Men's words do not bless. Men's words do not set people free. Men's words do not have signs and wonders following behind them. But the Word of God is the one that ministers deliverance to men and women. The Word of God is the one that Jesus Christ is honoring. It's the Word of God that He is hastening to perform. And that's what I want to hear today. How about you? Then just pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, You've heard the desire of our heart. We want to hear from heaven this morning. We want to hear personally and specifically in our lives, and we want to hear also concerning the church of which we are a part. We want, Father, to have You to speak to us by the anointing of Your Holy Spirit. And as that one, Father, that You have called to preach the Word this morning, I yield myself to You and offer myself a living sacrifice, that ye may use... Oh, hallelujah. Glory to... Thank You, Father. Hallelujah. I thank You, Father, for Your Spirit that dwells in me. I thank You, Lord, that You have given of me, of Your Holy Spirit, and You said that He abide with me forever. I thank You, Father, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that He will never, ever leave me, not this morning nor any other time. And I thank You, Father, that as I open my mouth and begin to speak, that I speak under the anointing of Your Holy Spirit, because that's what You've ordained. I praise You and thank You for that, our Father. I thank You for what You're going to show us today out of Your Word. I thank You that Your Word is Spirit and that Your power is Your Word. And as the Word goes forth, we'll receive the power of God. I ask You, Father, to cause Your anointing to fall upon the hearts and the ears of all that hear this message, whether they be here in the auditorium this morning or here by the medium of tape months and years from now. I ask You, Father, to cause spiritual scales to be broken away from eyes. I ask You, Father, to cause ears to be unstopped and hearts which are hard to be broken, if at least just a crack, that they might hear what the Word of the Lord is for us today. Give clarity, Father, and boldness to declare what You have already said. In Jesus' sweet name we pray. Amen. You know, it really is true. He says, "You have not because you ask not." And sometimes we're hesitant to ask. And when we do ask, we don't believe we're going to have it, and so we don't. But bless God, His Word is true. And if we'll ask and ask in faith, He'll do exactly what He said He would. This passage of Scripture out of Ephesians 5 is frequently used to minister concerning the relationship between a husband and his wife. And it's a good passage for that purpose. But I want us to look at it this morning from the standpoint of Jesus Christ and His church, which is the underlying truth, which is in this passage. So as we're reading, I want you to see that aspect of it especially. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Now look with me, please, at verse 27. That he might present it, that is, the church, to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. The purpose of God in Christ Jesus is to present to himself a bride, spotless, holy, without blemish or without wrinkle or imperfection or stain of any kind. Now, we have heard ministered from this passage of Scripture that what God is doing in us is causing the spots and the wrinkles and the blemishes to be removed from us so that we might be presented unto Him holy and blameless and without spot or blemish. But there's something strange about that, because just last week we saw in the Word that because we're in Christ Jesus, God has already made us without blemish and without stain and holy and without spot. Is that right? We saw that last week, didn't we? And by way of review, just quickly, turn to the book of Colossians, Paul's letter to the Colossian church, and see this one verse. We looked at many verses last week. We looked at Romans 11, where it said that if the root be holy, so is the branches. If the lump be holy, if the first fruits be holy, so is the whole lump. We saw that if we be in Christ, if He's holy, then so are we. We saw that God hath chosen us in Ephesians 1, adopted us before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blemish before Him. That when He sees us, He sees His Son Jesus, and there aren't any spots on Him. There aren't any blemishes in the Lord Jesus Christ, are there? Are there? Are there?
No,
there aren't any. 1 Peter 1:19 said that He was the Lamb. You're not redeemed with silver and gold, but by the precious blood of the Lamb, who was without spot or without blemish. And if the Lord Jesus Christ is without spot and without blemish, and we are of His flesh and of His bone, and He that sanctifieth and he that are sanctified is one, and as He is, so are we in this world. If all those things are true, what does that say about us? That as far as God is concerned, we are holy. As far as God is concerned, we are without blemish. As far as God is concerned, we are without spot or wrinkle. Colossians 1, verse 21. And you that were, past tense, sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled. Past tense, hath He reconciled. In the body of His flesh through death, that is, by the death of Jesus Christ in the flesh, He has reconciled us to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. In the sight of God, if you are in Christ Jesus, He has already presented you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in the sight of God. And we saw in Romans 8 last week, verse 33, where Paul said, "And who shall lay a charge against God's elect? It is God that justifieth. It's God that's made you righteous. It's God that has put away all of the stain and all of the spots and the wrinkles and the blemishes out of you. And when God looks at you, how would you ever expect to make heaven if God saw you the way you saw yourself? How would you ever expect to make glory if God looked at you and saw you the way you saw yourself, or the way your husband sees you, or your wife sees you, or your children sees you, or your father or mother sees you, or your neighbor sees you? They see all the faults and the stains and the blemishes, but he doesn't see them, bless God. He says, I'll not remember their sins anymore. As far as the east is from the west, therefore have I removed their sins from them. When he looks at us, bless God, he looks at his holy son, Jesus. We are in Christ. That's what it means to be in Christ. Now, if you're not in Jesus, you're full of spots and wrinkles and blemishes. And we saw what that was like last week. If you're not in Christ, if you haven't been born again, if you haven't become a new creature, God still sees you as dirty. He still sees you in sin, stained and blotted with that awful stain of sin. But bless the Lord, you can take care of that quick by believing on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all there is to that. But if you're in Christ, brother, if you're in Christ, sister, you are in the sight of God, holy, blameless, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. If that's true, and it is, if you believe that's true, just say amen.
Amen.
If it is true, and it is, then what is Paul talking about over there in Ephesians 5 where he says that Jesus Christ wants to present his bride unto himself, a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, that it may be holy and blemished and unblemished. What's he talking about? If he's already caused you to be born again, and if you're born again, you're already without spot, what is he doing, you see, to remove the spots? What does it mean he's removing the spots? I'm going to show you what it means he's removing the spots. Turn to Peter's letter, please. 2 Peter Chapter 2. I'm going to read just a couple of verses here to get the sense of it. Chapter number 2, Peter's second letter, verse number 1. But there were false teachers or false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways. This word pernicious means injurious or destructive ways, deadly. By reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. All right, Peter is talking here about within the church itself. He says there will be those who do not know me. There will be those that teach wrong things. There will be those that bring injury upon the body of Christ. Now look with me down, please, to the 12th verse and 13th. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they that counted pleasure to riot in the daytime. Now listen, spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. What kind of spots and blemishes is Jesus removing from the church? What kind of stain is he removing from the church? The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is being separated today to that which is the bride of Christ and that which is lukewarm. Yes, it is true. The Word of God says that we as Christians are to abstain from fleshly lusts. Paul says to mortify the deeds of your body. That's true. Anything that is in us, you see, that is not godly, he says we're to put to death. We're to abstain from those things. We're to kill them and destroy them. Why? So that other people round about will see the pure, true love of Jesus Christ in us. Not so that God will see us any different. He's already taken care of us on Calvary, bless God. And as long as we continue in faith of His Son and put our faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, God already sees us as stainless, sinless, blemishless, holy. Other men don't see us that way. They see your anger. They see your fear. They see your resentment. They see your profanity, perhaps. They see your slackness. They see what we do, you see, that is not in line with the Word of God. And they say, oh, the church is full of a bunch of hypocrites. Now, it is the work of the Holy Spirit to purify the church. It is the ministry of the Holy Spirit to bring your life and my life into conformity with the image of Jesus. The Spirit that dwells in us is working in me, and He's working in you, and He's purging me, and He's purging you, and cleansing us of sin. He's cleansing us of anything that would keep the light of Jesus Christ from shining clearly so that the world round about us would see Jesus as He really is. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. But this verse of Scripture in Ephesians that we have seen for so long, and we think that the Spirit of God is removing the stains and blemishes in our life so that we'll be more pleasing to God, is not true. The spots and blemishes that God is taking out of the church are those that do not really believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who have not really made Him number one, who are not really open to the move of His Spirit, who are not really honoring this Word of God. When Jesus comes, you watch this. When our Jesus comes to take His church, He's not taking a church that's got spots in it. Now, I want you to know this, too. I still have some spots in me. You can see them. He doesn't see them, praise God. He doesn't see them. I see them. You see them. And bless the Lord, as I walk in His Spirit, I am becoming more spotless, all right? So are you if you're walking in the Spirit, if you're allowing the Holy Spirit to do that. When Jesus comes, I'm going with Him. Do you know why? Because as far as He's concerned, I'm spotless. I'm without stain. I am part of that spotless, without blemish church. There's not a wrinkle on me as far as He's concerned, and there's not one on you either, brother or sister, if you're in Christ Jesus. But I want you to know this. It is not the wrinkles that are in us that He's talking about here. It's the wrinkles that are in the church. It's not the spots that are in us. It's the spots that are in the church. It's not the sin that is in us. It's the sinners that are in His body, you see, in the church. Now, please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not trying to bring condemnation upon anybody. But I believe it is important that we understand what God's doing in this last day. I believe it's important that we recognize what is happening among us and among other groups. That we see the work of God, you see, in His church. He's going to have a holy bride. And the only way that you can ever be holy is to be in Christ Jesus. And if you're in Him, you're as holy as you'll ever be. That's right. As far as the way He sees you is concerned. Now, if you'll look, please, in Leviticus, the 20th chapter. I want to show you that God has never changed His mind. He's always been this way. The Bible says that God is the same. Jesus is the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. I am the Lord thy God, and I change not. Leviticus chapter number 20. When God chooses a people, He chooses them and He separates them. He won't have any stain in them. There's a tremendous truth here, and one that we must know in these last days. Chapter 20, verse number 24. But I have said unto you, ye shall inherit their land, and I will give it unto you to possess it, a land that floweth with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, which have separated you from other people. Look in the 26th verse. And ye shall be holy unto me, for I the Lord am holy, and I have severed you from other people that ye should be mine. Now when he comes to get his church, when he comes to get his bride of Christ, it's not going to have any wrinkles in it. It won't have any stains in it. It'll be a glorious, wonderful, beautiful bride which will stand at the altar of God with him and be joined to him forever and ever without stain and without blemish. Those that have joined the rolls of churches and have their names on church rolls, my letter is at first such and such. If their letter is not in his book, their letter's going to still be in first such and such after the bride is gone. Amen. He says, there'll be no spots or blemishes in my bride. None. It'll be without stain. It'll be without fault. Now let me tell you what's happening in the church today. There are two things which are happening. I'm going to show you, first of all, in 2 Corinthians, please. There are two things that are happening in the church that are indicative of what Jesus Christ is doing today in the church. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I used to have a pastor who used to say this, and he would say it in jokingly, but it's serious. It's so serious, it's not really funny. He said, everybody who's talking about heaven ain't going. Now, that is tragically true. What is tragic about it, it's so easy to get the ticket. The ticket is Jesus. He said, I am the way. There isn't any other way. I'm the way. And so many are putting their confidence, you see, in tradition. They're putting their confidence in a system. They're putting their confidence in a man. They're putting their confidence in another way. Jesus said, I am the way. And no man can come unto the Father except by me. There's only one way. Now you can figure out any other kind of way you want, but it isn't going to lead anywhere except to death. Solomon said, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but in the end, its way is death. There's only one way that'll lead you to life, life eternal, and that's through Jesus Christ. You can either live for him or live for yourself. And if you live for yourself, you're going to die. It's that simple. If you live for him, you're going to live. Amen. That's what the word says. Now let me show you what's happening in the church so that we understand what's happening. We can see what's going on around us. Jesus said that we ought to know. We ought to be able to see the signs of the times. We ought to know that if the fig tree is budding, that summer is not very far away. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 16. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? And ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. What's happening today? The bride of Christ is coming out of many of those churches that will not receive the truth of God's word, and God himself is separating the bride of Christ. He says, I've severed you. I've called you to be separate unto me. You're a holy people. You're not like the rest of them. You're separate and holy unto me. You're the bride of my son, Jesus. He says, come out from among them and be ye separate. It's happening today, isn't it? It's happening today. Now, why is it happening? It's happening because God has poured his truth out upon a body. That body, I don't know why I'm preaching this morning. I've never preached this before. I don't want anybody to misunderstand me, but if you misunderstand me, you'll just have to misunderstand me. I don't want you to, but if you do, you'll just have to. Revelation chapter 3. Jesus writing his letters to the churches. Glory to God. The time is short, friends. There's no time for fooling around. Amen. Verse number 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew ye out of my mouth. That's what's happening. God is pouring his spirit out upon churches, buildings and fellowships and groups of people which are supposed to be the bride of Christ. But what is happening in them is that those that are of the bride are coming out. They're coming out because that fellowship there would not receive the word of God, insisted on being lukewarm. They're coming out. The bride of Jesus is being prepared. The other thing that is happening is what Paul was talking about in Ephesians, and it's the verse where we started this morning. Turn to that, chapter 5. While you're turning, let me say this. My prayer, and I believe your prayer is this too, that as God pours his spirit out upon the church today, I'm talking about the church as the world knows the church, as God's spirit is poured out upon the church, my prayer is that they will receive God, that they'll receive the Lord Jesus, that they'll receive his spirit, that they'll receive his word. That's my prayer. I know that's his too. I know that's what he wants. I know that's what he's after. But while you're here at Ephesians, just hold your finger there and turn back to Peter. 1 Peter, something just come to me here. 1 Peter chapter 4. Let me show you something here that you may have wondered about. First Peter chapter 4. Oh, glory to God. Verse number 17. Peter said, For the time is come, the judgment must begin at the house of God. Judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them be that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely shall be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? The house of God is coming under judgment in these days. Now, how is it being judged? It's being judged by the word of God. I don't judge it and you don't judge it, but the word of the living God judges it. The house of God in Jesus' day came to him and said, why do you judge us thus? He said, I don't judge you, but the word that I speak, it judges you. And that's what's happening today. The house of God has already received judgment by the word. It's God's word that is judged. Do you receive this as the word of God or do you not? Do you or do you not believe this is the eternal word of the living God? Do you believe it enough to put your trust in it? Do you believe it enough to obey it? Or is it a lukewarm, casual acknowledgement? A lukewarm, casual acknowledgement will get you a place outside the church when the wedding is going on, when the bride is joined to the bridegroom. Outside, not inside. Now look at Ephesians chapter 5. What is Jesus doing to the church? In some fellowships, it's the bride that's coming out and separating themselves from the unclean thing. In other churches, it's the spots that are being removed. Do you understand what I'm saying? In some places,
it's the pure bride that's coming out. In other places, it's the spots that are leaving. Do you understand me? All right. Now, how does that happen? We've seen some of that, and we'll see some more of it. And this is why I believe God wants us to recognize it. Verse number 25, let's begin to read there, please. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church. How is he cleansing his church today? By the washing of his word. When the word goes forth, you see, the spots that are sitting in the pews will leave because they can't stand the word. Now, bless God, they don't have to stay spots. Praise God, they don't have to be blemishes. Praise the Lord, they can walk through that door and be a spot and walk out and be spotless when they receive Jesus of Nazareth as Savior. However, if they walk in and be spots, do not receive the Lord Jesus Christ, do not receive His Word, the Word itself, you see, divides. Jesus said when He came, He said, "Do you think that I came to bring peace on earth? Nay, but I came to bring division. I'm going to divide between those that love my Father and those that love the devil. I'm going to set a division between them. I'm going to make the line of demarcation and separation so clear that when I come to get my bride, it'll be a glorious, clean bride, and I'll know it, and so will everybody else. And there won't be any confusion as to who's part of that bride." That's what Jesus is doing today. He is sanctifying or setting apart His bride by the washing of the Word. When you come to church on Sunday morning, He washes you with the Word. He just washes you. That's why it's so important that we get this Word. That's why it's so important that wherever you go, it doesn't matter whether you come here or whether you go somewhere else, but you be sure, beloved, that you go somewhere where the power of God will wash you with the Word. Because it's only the Word, that's all, you see, that matters. It's this Word and the living Word, Jesus. We're to be cleansed by it. Individually, we are cleansed so that we are conformed more and more to the image of Jesus Christ. John 15, Jesus said to His disciples, "Ye are already made clean by the Word that I have spoken unto you." And so are you cleansed if you have received that Word, the living Word, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That's why it is, friends, on occasion when I used to wonder about it, and it used to bother me, because we would have folks that would come to a service. They'd be so uncomfortable they couldn't make it through the first hymn. They would have to excuse themselves, have to leave. We've had them to come, and don't you misunderstand me. I'm not ridiculing anyone. I just want you to understand. Who would come and sit through a Sunday school class and be so nervous that as soon as Sunday school broke, they broke for the door and wouldn't stay for a service. Or would look for any opportunity to leave, to excuse themselves, to get out during the service. Why? Why is that? It's because the Word is going forth from this platform. You say, it's not me, it's Him. But the Word, you see, is going forth from this platform, and it's washing. And it's what is the detergent that gets the spots out? What's the one that, I don't watch any television, so I don't know what these commercials are, but I'm sure there's one, gets the spots out. Got to be one like that. I don't know what it's called, but you see, in the realm of the Spirit, this is the one that gets the spots out. The Word gets the spots out. See? And when this Word goes forth, the spots will come out of your life so that you won't see them anymore. And so your friends and neighbors won't notice the spots in your life because they'll be gone. But also the spots will leave the bride of Christ so that the bride will be spotless and pure and without wrinkle. That's why it is important to you and to me, to our fellowship here, and to you wherever you are. Those of you that are from Miami and from Tennessee and from Illinois and from Chattanooga and from Kentucky, You go to a church where the Word of God cleanses the people regularly, and you sit under that Word and let that Word cleanse you and cleanse the bride as a whole, because it's by the Word that He is sanctifying or separating His church. That's the way it's happening. That's why you'll always hear the Word coming from this platform or from these. If your children are in these Sunday school classes, they will be washed regularly with the Word of God. That's all they're going to get, you see, is the Word. They're going to be sanctified by the washing of the Word, because Jesus loves His church. He loves His church. I praise God for what He's doing. And I bless the Lord that if a person would come into this assembly and sit here for any period of time, he would not sit here long under the delusion that he was all right with God. He'd find out real quick whether he was all right with God or if he wasn't. And if he's not, he needs to make it right, and make it right quickly. Otherwise, he does need to leave. It's just that simple. I want you to know that when Jesus comes to get his bride, if he comes on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night, if you're left here, it will be very lonesome, because there won't be many to stay with you. We're going to be with Jesus, and so can you. Beloved, so can you. You may be here this morning, and you may have been in a church all of your life, and you may have thought that everything was just fine, just hunky-dory, but you're sitting here today, and you listen to the Word, and you say to yourself, I'm not really sure. I'm not really sure. If you're not sure, you need to come to Jesus today. If you're in Christ Jesus, you'll know it. You can't be a brand new creature and have God keep it a secret from you. You'll know it if you've been born again. You might not know what to call it, but you'll know you're different. You'll know that you know Jesus. I invite you today, if you're unsure, if there's just the least little bit of hesitation in you, if what I say to you this morning offends you, if you're growling on the inside because of what I said, you need to humble yourself before God Almighty today, because it's a sign you've got a problem with Him. Now, I'm not condemning you, don't misunderstand me, nor judging you. Only trying to help you. If you feel that way, I know what that means. And I know that you need to humble yourself before God today if you feel that way. I invite you now, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, or if you're not sure, that as we pray, you simply say, Father, I'm not sure I understand all this, but I do know I love you with all of my heart. And I want to know that I'm without spot in your eyes, and that I'm without blemish. I'm part of your bride. And I come to you today in humble submission and give my life to you. Would you close your eyes, please? Everyone in the auditorium, close their eyes. Children as well as adults, every eye closed. Every eye closed. I don't want anybody looking. This is a very important time. This is the most important thing that you have ever done. If you've never met Jesus, this is the most important thing that you have ever done. I want every eye to be closed. If I've expressed the desire of your heart today, if you've said while I've been speaking, yes, that's what I need to do, because I'm not sure. Yes, I've been in churches all over, but I never really heard this. I didn't know that Jesus really and truly loved me like a man loves his wife. I didn't really realize. And I want to be sure today that I'm part of his bride. I want to know beyond a shadow of a doubt. I don't want the enemy to have any opportunity to rob me. Then I want you just to pray. Ask Jesus to come into your heart. Ask Him to make Himself real to you and give you that assurance that you belong to Him. And we're just going to have a time of just silence. quiet as the piano continues to play, that you can talk to the Lord yourself out of your own heart and make anything right with Him that may not be right today. Don't put it off. You may never have another opportunity like today.